Go ahead.
Character and power. And, you know, so you're not a disciple right now. Become one. There's nothing stopping anyone from becoming a disciple unless it's an arrogant attitude. Because so you know, and I think it's good if you think it's a good thing to know you're not where you're supposed to be, because that should, by the power of the Holy Spirit, spur you on.
Amen.
To want more. Obviously, then there's a desire to want more from God, to learn more about God, to walk more intimately with God. Okay, this is the time to do that then.
Exactly. This morning I brought up a scripture I want to read right now. Proverbs 19:20, and it says this: take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. That's in the Message Bible, Proverbs 19:20. Nan, I want you to comment on this. Proverbs 19:20, take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well.
Well, I think we need to be careful who we listen to.
Absolutely.
We need to know our Father's voice.
We do.
I want to address part of that, but you know, you're talking about your grandchild. You know, I now have a grandchild, and he's almost 5 months old. And Mom was holding him the other day, and we were at their house, and Mom was talking to him, and he was listening to her
right.
and everything. But then when he heard his mother's voice,
yes,
she walked past, and she says something to him. He turned, he looked.
Right.
He knew who his mother was.
Right.
He recognized that voice.
That's right.
And
they
just
do.
As he did that, we need to recognize the voice
yes.
of our Father, right?
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father. And,
amen.
You know, and if we're in a situation where we need correction, we need to accept that correction. I certainly have been in that numerous times in my life, of different areas that, you know, you need correction.
We all do.
Accept that willingly.
Yes.
Let it apply to your life.
Right.
You know, your life is so much fuller. You become a better disciple as you're doing that, because he's teaching you.
Exactly. I don't think that we can truly become the disciples that God wants us to be if we are not teachable.
No.
If we are not humble, if we don't accept correction, and if we say things like, you know, well, I understand all that. I've read that in the Bible. I've read that. No. There's so much more to every single verse that can be applied in our lives. Change us, you know? It's so easy to get so bogged down with religiosity, which is having religious concepts under your belt, but not allowing the Spirit of God to flow through you and change you. We're coming up on the top of the hour, but PJ, address that. You got about 1 minute before we get up here to the top of the hour.
Well, yeah. You can know about God, but not really know him. And it's dangerous just to know about him. I mean, you can have all the theology in the world, but if you don't really know the God behind it, it doesn't do you any good. It just makes you think you're smart. And I mean, I've struggled with that because, you know, I love theology. I love to read and take scriptures and tear them apart and put them back together and talk about the attributes of God and all that kind of fun stuff. But the only reason it's fun is because I have Jesus living in me. Otherwise, it'd be just dead words. I mean, Bishop George and I were talking about that. God's word is living. It's active. God confirms it. And unless we know him, it's just going to be dead letters. It's
exactly.
going to be dead letters on a page.
It's about whether or not we have relationship with mm-hmm. Almighty God. We say this all the time on the show, 13 years of the show here on Tan Talk Network. And we say this all the time. You got to have relationship with Almighty God. You can't just know about him. You got to know him. You got to know how he feels about you, that he loves you, that you are his precious child. You got to understand the basics of why you would want to be a disciple. Why would you want to be one? Because you want to follow in the steps of Jesus. You want to do what he wants you to do. You want to fulfill his will and his desire for you. That's why you want to be a disciple. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment. And again, we invite you to our service this coming Sunday at 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater, Florida. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. It's time for this.
Hey, I'm Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Out. When you meet people, say, here. Don't know what that was. That was my voice from some other time. Bizarre. Okay, that was just the tagline right here on this thing. So I don't know what happened there. Anyway, we welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope, to our website. It's going to be undergoing some major overhaul, but you can still find out some basic facts. And it's bohmglobal.com, bohmglobal.com. Go there and you can find out where we're located, 2058 Weaver Park Drive, in Clearwater, new facility in the last few months, and got a lot there. Nan, would you really tell people about our prayer line and why they would want to know that email address?
Very important, because it can be a lifeline for them. It's prayers@bohmglobal.com. We have three people, Pastor Jim, Shell, and Betty. One of them will pick that prayer off the line. You can email your prayer request, pick that up. They will put it out to our prayer team, and with the request as well as a prayer, so we're all praying the same way. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've seen some mighty things happen.
Haven't we?
I mean, we've seen people's cancer healed.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
sure.
Relationships restored.
Absolutely.
Just so many wonderful things. So, I mean, I have used it before.
Sure.
And I have seen God move
in
my
situation,
you know? And yeah. So, you know, I would encourage the people to do that. Again, it's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send in your prayer request. You don't have to put your name. We're not identifying you by that. If you don't want to, don't put your name. Or put your first name. Put whatever you'd like to put. But get the prayer in so we can get a prayer request out.
And we want you to be a part of the prayer line, a prayer team, right, Pastor Jim? If anybody wants to join it, send you a prayer request or an email.
Send an email to prayers@bohmglobal, and we will add you to that. Because hey, the more the merrier, as far as praying goes. We've got quite a few on the list. They go all the way across the country, and all we ask is that you be committed to praying. When the email comes across, that you say, oh, another chance to see God move.
Fantastic. And that's what it is. It's an opportunity
yeah.
to be a part of helping somebody get what their miracle or whatever
yeah.
it is. prayers@bohmglobal.com. We have a Wednesday night Bible study. Pastor Jim, you want to talk about that, what we're doing, when it is, and all of that?
Okay, we have Wednesday nights, like Pastor said, at the church building. We start
5:45
for prayer. We use pray some out of prayers that avail much. We also take prayer requests at that time and pray for folks. And then 6:30, we have Bible study. And right now we're doing a very exciting study on the book of Ephesians. And it's team taught, actually, by Pastor, myself, and Dr. Angel, who you can hear here on Thursday nights on Go Yard with Mama Mac. Thought I'd toss that plug in, too.
Thank you very much. 6:06 p.m. Thursday night. Yeah.
So it's the three of us team teaching. We divided it up. Dr. Angel is talking about a kind of our inheritance. I'm talking about the Christian's walk, and Pastor Marsh is talking about victory, our authority, our victory, and spiritual warfare.
It's so fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We're really enjoying it, and we should get out before 8 o'clock, so join us come Wednesday night, even if you don't know us, just come in the door, and we'll make you feel welcome and that you're a part of the family. And that's, again, the same address, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. And I'm excited about that series. We'll just continue to have Wednesday night Bible study regularly. So put it on your calendar if you'd like to join us. We'd like to have you. Again, we want to remind people that next Sunday is a very special day at Beacon of Hope Ministries because the dear folks, the McKays, that is Dr. Rebecca and Bishop George, will be joining us with their congregation from just their name of their church just went out the window to me again. But anyway, the name of their show is Truth Talk. But they will be bringing their ministry to our church next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and followed by a great Sunday dinner, like Sunday dinner from the old days where you have all the good cooking, you know. So we just encourage any of you out there in Radio Land, this is a good time for you to find Beacon of Hope and the ministry of those dear folks, too. And their ministries in Tarpon Springs. But they are all coming to Clearwater, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. So we hope you can join us next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And as always, we're on the radio here at 3 p.m. Every single Sunday in our 13th year of that. Hard to believe, Nan. It's very hard to believe that we're in our 13th year on this show. You've been, you and Pastor Jim have been apart since... I don't know how many years.
I don't know how many years. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Still enjoy doing it?
Still enjoy doing it or I wouldn't be here. You know, the radio team, you know, everyone desires to be here and wants to be here. Or else, quite honestly, we wouldn't be here. You know, right. Because we could go. I enjoy flying a kite, as everyone in my life knows. I could be out at the beach right now flying a kite. But I'd much rather be here. And if God can use me in any little way to minister to someone who's listening,
exactly,
that's my heart's desire, is to be able to be used. That's the way all of us are that's on the radio team.
Exactly. And that sounds to me like you have the heart of a disciple.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this, humble yourself. Pastor Jim, I want to come to you about that. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That in due time he may exalt you. Is that what your translation says?
Yeah. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time.
There you go. You want to explain that? And why is that so important to the work of disciples?
Well, you can't be a disciple. We talked about that, if you're not humble. And also, I mean, I'm just going to go up a couple of verses. At the beginning of this chapter, Peter talks about, basically, he exhorts the elders to do their job well and, you know, not lord it over people, but, you know, and don't do it under compulsion and not for sordid gain. And then he says in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you, being the elders, will receive the crown of glory. And then in verse 5, he says, you younger men... likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves, all of you, elders and, you know, everybody in the church, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I mean...
Oh, that's so good.
Isn't it? I mean, it's like...
God doesn't like pride, people.
No, he does not. And here it is. He says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. What is the biggest cause, one of the biggest causes of strife in a church is somebody's got a pride issue.
Right.
And that just sets everything kind of in motion. Peter says, just clothe yourselves with humility.
Yes.
Because God opposes the proud, but does what? He gives grace.
He gives grace.
To the humble. Who doesn't need grace?
Right. Grace. And then I love the way it says in the verse 6, humble yourself. This is something you do. Now, a lot of times circumstances will humble us.
I was just going to say, it's better if we humble ourselves than have outside circumstances have to do that for us.
I'm going to play a song I don't think I've ever played on the radio. It's a fairly new one from 2019, and it's by Matt Redman. Gracefully broken. Listen to this.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply. God, all that I am, and find my heart. On the altar again, set me on fire.
will set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love. Strong to the end, you will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I
He's not done.
Arms wide open.
Oh, I like that.
Pouring out my life, gracefully broken.
What's it mean to be gracefully broken, Pastor Jim?
Submitting yourself, I mean, Matt sang about it in the song,
sure
submitting
did.
Yourself to God, surrendering to God. That's when you humble yourself before Him, where you get that grace, where you can be gracefully broken. Well, you know, I'm reminded of the story in John. The lady comes in, possibly it was Mary Magdalene, who just before Jesus was going to go to the cross, she took an alabaster jar, which, and those things were sealed. It didn't have a lid. You had to break it open in order for the fragrance to be poured out.
Wow.
And yeah, that's why they were so expensive.
Yes.
I mean, remember, it was, couldn't this have been sold for a year's worth of wages?
Exactly.
So that tells you how expensive it was. And she poured it over the feet of Jesus, and it says the fragrance filled the entire room. That's how we have to be. In order for the fragrance of God, you know, which Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, to be let out, we have to be broken.
We have to be broken. Disciples have to go through breaking times. Times where it just seems like nothing's working. Times where you're just crying out to God, for rescue from a situation, whatever, or where God is just saying, okay, look, I'm not pleased with this in your character. You got to deal with that. You got to deal with it. Don't continue in that area of arrogance or thinking you know it all. You know, I know I said a few times this morning, but I meant it with all my heart. Disciples are people that are teachable, people that do not say, well, I know this already. I don't need to study that, or I don't need to read my Bible that much because I really got this thing, you know. What's wrong with that, Pastor Jim? Talk to us.
Well, I was just going to say, okay, I mentioned it earlier in the show, and I know I've talked about this several times. 46 years I've been saved, almost. And there have been a few periods where, yeah, I didn't read the Bible, but consistently for 46 years. And, you know, some people might say, well, don't you have the darn thing memorized by now?
It's not like that.
It's not like that at all, because every single time.
Yeah.
And I've said this, every single time, yes, I read it, because I tend to kind of, I mean, I have a couple of devotionals, but I'll read like a chapter or two just from beginning to end. And God shows me new stuff.
Sure, he always does.
Every single time.
He always does. Yes, he does.
And it's like, wow,
that's a disciple who's willing to be taught.
Yeah, it's like, when did you put that in there?
Right. Because things come alive to us at different times in, yes, our lives. Verse 4 of Matthew 5, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. A lot of times, that's part of the breaking process. When you've lost something or someone that was most dear to you, only then can you embrace by the one most dear to you. Because when you're absolutely aching from grief or aching from a divorce or whatever it might be, an illness, whatever it is, when you are at that point where you are absolutely without, you know, hope, I guess, you know, feeling like life is just not right, you know, that's when you can be embraced by the one most dear to you. So in other words, we go through difficult times because we have to learn to draw close to God, which it says in James chapter 4, draw close to God, submit to God, draw close to God. He will draw close to you. But it's a matter of he's waiting on us. Not that he's not there. He's there. But a lot of times we are stubbornly not wanting to hear his voice.
Well, and it depends. Everybody mourns. And because we've all lost things, and on a human level, I mean, I have a client who his relationship with his partner broke up several years ago, like 3 years ago. And it hit me this last time I was talking to him. He always says the same thing. The last thing my partner said to me was blah, 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 blah. And I looked at him and I said, I really think you need counseling. We need to talk about getting you into counseling, because, you know, ever since that happened, you have brought up that same phrase.
Well, he's fractured at that point, right?
Right. It
fractured.
Stopped right there.
Right there.
And you somehow have to move on. And it's the same thing with being spiritually broken.
Yes, yes.
To the point where, and I've looked at this as, you see yourself, sometimes God puts a mirror up to you and you see yourself not as he sees you, because if you're under Jesus, he sees you already perfect.
Right.
But sometimes he'll let us see ourselves.
Yes, he does. That's the Holy Spirit
working
in us.
In all of our imperfections.
Yes.
And believe me, that makes me mourn when I've had those times, and I mourn.
Right.
Because nobody likes to look. Well, it's almost like the picture of Dorian Gray, you know, that old story by Oscar Wilde. The man stayed young, but yet the picture up in the attic showed his real self, his real character, and it just kept getting uglier and uglier.
Right.
And sometimes God has to show us that so that we can mourn, so we can get past it, we can deal with whatever imperfection God's pointing out to us.
Yes.
So we can move on.
That's being gracefully broken.
Yes.
When we allow ourselves to be broken from that thing we're carrying around as our cross or our badge of pain or suffering, and we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to minister into that suffering, it's hard to allow grace to come in there when right. we're carrying that around.
Well, sometimes we just want to nurse that suffering.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Because then, oh, look at me, I'm so busy, I'm so pitiful.
Right.
Oh, everything.
And God doesn't want us being in that
no,
framework.
No, absolutely not.
Look at verse 5 of Matthew 5. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. I think in the other translations it says the meek.
Or the humble.
Or the humble.
There's that word again.
There it is. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself owners of everything that can't be bought. I think so often in this society in which we live right now, people are very envious and jealous of other people. They look at people that have had more success in some area, maybe a leader at your job or whatever. You want to talk about that a minute, Nan? I think this can be a real problem for a lot of people, that it's hard for them to be content with just who they are.
They need to get comfortable in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
I have someone that used to be a friend of mine, and this individual would say, you know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I used to think, that's kind of a weird way of putting it, you know? But then, yeah, I really realized how, you know, exactly what that meant. And we do need to be, we need to be content with who we are, but we also need to move forward as we're becoming greater and greater disciples. You know, we need to know who we are, know where we are, but we need to move forward. And, you know, there will be those times of kind of what we've said is discipline, to use such a word, discipline. But, you know, we need to recognize that and learn from that and move forward. And that is becoming a disciple because, as you've already said, they're teachable.
But so many people are content, Nan, with who they think they are.
They thinketh wrong.
There you go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So often people are going, I'm fine just the way I am. I don't need to go to church. I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't need anything. I'm okay. You know, that attitude is prevalent in our society. It is fed by social media, where we only put the good things of our lives on social media when we may be hurting terribly, but a lot of times none of that's up there. Go ahead.
I know someone who attended Christian school. Looking in hindsight, that may not have been the best idea. And the reason being, now this individual, I don't even go to church. I know it all. I'm like, you don't know it all. But in their eyes, they feel they know it all. They've sat through the stuff. They have a good memory. They have the scripture memorized. I don't need to go to church. I know it all. And that is, could be further from the truth. None of us know it all.
Why is it, Pastor Jim, that some people do get stuck in that road of know it all? I mean, because that is a common problem around everywhere.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it's at least sometimes it's a excuse isn't the right word, but it's kind of a safety measure, because if I say I know it all, I don't have to be vulnerable to realizing I don't know it all, which means I may be wrong in what I think I know. Did y'all follow me on that? If I say I know it all, then I can pretend that I do know it all and I'm never wrong. But if I realize, you know, I was wrong about this.
It takes a big person to admit that, especially spiritual leaders.
Well,
very important
yeah.
that pastors and leaders can say, you know what, I didn't handle that correctly. Forgive me.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, yeah, definitely that, and doctrinally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I started out pre-tribulation rapture, and that's changed over the years. I mean, it was kind of shock treatment when it happened, but you know, it was pretty sudden, but still we have to be willing to learn, because like with the gifts of the Spirit that we talked about earlier in the show, some people say they don't exist today. They will even ignore when they see the miracles happen.
They ignore it, yeah.
Because it goes against my theology.
Right. I was taught that. That stopped when the disciples all died.
Yes,
you know?
I was taught that when John put the last period in the last sentence of Revelation, then everything stopped. Well, that's not true.
Not at all.
Not scripturally and not historically.
Right.
Okay?
But it comes back to this point, Pastor Jim and Nan, where people, especially religious, spiritual people, I mean, religious people, can get it in their head that they got a handle on that. I know about that. I don't need to hear your sermon on that, or I don't need to sit in Bible study about that because, you know, I got that. Back to that.
Oh, how many times have we heard her preach on Gideon?
Right. Things like that. Right? Right?
And I'm using that for example because I know at least four times since I've been coming to church.
Right.
And it's like, if you have that attitude,
but I mean, so
I learned
truth.
Something new.
Oh, so much truth in the story of Gideon.
And I've learned something new every time.
Right.
But it's like, here we go again, some people will say. And, you know, we do the prophecies every single year around Christmas time, the prophecies of the coming of Jesus. Right. And I wouldn't want to give that up. And I don't care how many times you hear it.
It increases your
faith. It increases your faith every time you do.
It increases your faith. So let's get down to this situation here before we go to this next song. Who you are, you're a child of God, okay? And as a child of God, God does not call us totally got it all together, never going to need any training anymore, people. God doesn't say that about us.
No.
He does say we're more than conquerors, we have an inheritance and all those things, but we got to learn to walk in that. We don't just wake up one day and you're a disciple. You got to make conscious effort. The disciples, as you said earlier, Pastor Jim, walked with Jesus for 3 years, and that was just the beginning of their training. They did not graduate with a plaque at the end of the 3 years when Jesus went to heaven.
No, they did not. And I mean, Peter's a really good example. If he wasn't teachable, then we would not be saved. I'll be real blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Because when he went, you know, when they came to get him to say, well, Cornelius, the centurion, a Gentile, wants to hear you speak. He could, I mean, he kind of did hint at it. Oh, I can't do this. I mean, that guy's a Gentile. I'll defile myself. And yet he went, he preached, the Holy Spirit fell on Cornelius and his family. They spoke in tongues. Peter baptized him.
Exactly.
And then he had to explain himself to everybody back in Jerusalem because they were thinking, wait a minute, he wasn't circumcised first. You can't do that. And Peter said, no, God moved.
Right.
God moved. What was I supposed to do?
God wants to move in our situations, people. He wants to change us. He wants us to realize who we are in him, and he wants us to become teachable. One of our favorite songs at Beacon, which we might be doing next week.
I think it's on the list if it's what I'm thinking of.
You never know, though, if we will be or not, by the Group Hill song, Who You Say I Am. Love it. Love it.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my place for me, I'm a child of
child of God. Yes, I am.
Woo, I love that song. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, you know, I was, many of the repetitive words that was in that, I wrote them down, is I am a child of God. Yes, I am.
Yes.
You know, and there's times that Satan tries to come against us and
yes.
say, who are you?
Right.
Look, you messed up. You act like you think you're a disciple yet.
Right.
You did this or you did that. You know, and all we have to do is just say, God, you know, I messed up. Please forgive me and move forward. And
right.
we can keep going as a disciple. And I want to encourage the listeners, don't take that stuff from Satan.
Right.
They don't have to. They need to remember they are a child. Yes, they are. They are a disciple. Yes, they are.
Absolutely. And we don't just arrive at being strong in God. We work at it. We get the word down on the inside of us. We learn to worship and praise. We learn to take correction. Remember that verse? Let me read it to you again. Proverbs 19:20. Take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. That is Proverbs 19:20. I love that verse. And it's so often that the devil comes and says, oh, you know all that. You don't need to go hear the word. You don't need to go to church. Doesn't your back hurt today?
Hey, what are you saying, Beth?
I was not referring to you. It just flew out of my mouth. And then I thought, oops, Nan's going to take offense. But
no, Nan doesn't take offense.
Okay. So, but I mean, you know, that's, go ahead, PJ.
Well, I was going to
bail me out of this problem.
Okay. I was going to read that verse out of New American Standard.
Please do.
Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days.
Whoa.
You know, I like that. Accept it. Accept the counsel.
Yes.
I mean, if somebody comes up to counsel you, I mean, thinking about like where I work, we have a whole behavioral health unit. I'm thinking, why would you pay to get counseling if you're not going to take it?
Right.
You know, if you're not going to accept it. And I like it because that verse goes from counsel to discipline.
To discipline.
And what does wisdom say earlier in Proverbs? Look, either hear me or your neck's going to get broken.
Right.
Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, if we don't take counsel, then discipline is just going to follow it.
Exactly.
We need to accept the counsel, accept whatever discipline occurs, and then we'll be wise the
exactly.
rest of our days.
Exactly.
And, you know, I love the Proverbs. They're so good. But there's one about, you know, a wise man hides his knowledge. A fool just blurts everything out.
Right. Many years ago, I was a trainer for real estate agents in our office at Century 21 for a few years. And all the new agents that were hired had to go through 2 or 3 weeks with me, a couple hours a day. And it was interesting to see the ones that were serious, the ones that were not. But once there was this pro football player who came to our office, and he had been a part of a team that had won a Super Bowl. But he lived in our area now, and he wanted to try real estate. Great big guy, sat down in my class with a couple magazines. And he started to read his magazines.
I bet that just made the teacher in you boil.
It did, Pastor Jim. Day after day after day, he just brought stacks of magazines and read. Never once asked a question, never once interacted. He was there in the room, Mr. Know-It-All, was there in the room taking, absorbing something, I guess, as he read his magazines. But then the time came when he was supposed to be done with the class, and I said to the broker, here's what he did. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, he had all kinds of problems trying to do contracts and everything else because he really hadn't paid a bit of attention. And I think a lot of us, I haven't thought about that example for years and years, and I will not call his name because he was an NFL player. But so many of us in our days were like that spiritually. We are, I don't need to read the word today. I'll be okay today. I went to church yesterday. This is Monday. I'm okay today.
Oh, I need the word more on Monday than any other day of the week.
Me too. Absolutely. I've got people who pray for me on Monday more than any other day because of the attacks of the enemy after such an amazing day on Sunday.
Right.
Take that, you two, and talk about that because I think that's the arrogance of people.
Well, yeah, I mean, Joyce Meyer says, new level, new devil. I mean, Satan is not going to stop harassing you just because you get more intimate with God. If anything, he's going to try and step up the attack, which is why, yeah, I mean, I found the same thing. If there's been a great service, great radio show, I get home and, you know, the dog's misbehaving or, you know, something else is going on, you know, just to try and take that away, you know, saying, oh, he does not fight fair, so neither do we. All right, you're teaching on that on Wednesday night.
That's exactly right.
We don't have to, in this is a battle we do not have to fight fair, because right. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal, but they're mighty. They're mighty. They're spiritual weapons. And
so true.
If we fight, he flees.
Right.
I mean, and not even fighting so much as standing, which I know you're going to get to.
Yes.
If we stand, he doesn't know what to do.
We got to stand on something and stand for something, right?
We stand on the word.
Yes.
And, you know, we stand for God. And it's not like, I don't know where I read this. It may have been in one of the devotionals I use, but we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. The victory's already happened. It happened on the cross and the resurrection. Jesus pulled Satan's teeth. He only has the power we give him at this point.
Absolutely.
And granted, lots of people give him lots of power, but it says he's like a roaring lion.
Right.
He's got his teeth pulled.
Right. And we got to realize we have that authority. We'll talk more about that. Verse 6 of Matthew 5 in the Message Bible, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. There are days with me being in real estate and lately in the last few months so busy that I'll get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I think, why am I hungry? And then I think, oh, because all I had was a banana this morning, a bowl of oatmeal, which is a good way to start the day. But after a while, that fuel from that banana and bowl of oatmeal, which is great at 6:30, 7 a.m., by 4 p.m., it's lost its power. Because I haven't put anything in to, like, you know, build that up.
Right.
Strength. Yeah, yeah, go with that. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. Go with that, Nan.
Well, you know, that is such a spiritual correlation there, what you said, well, with spiritual things. You know, I mean, I can tell the difference of the days when I have eaten of the Word, meaning read it, or did not eat of the Word and didn't eat it. You know, I mean, you can tell the difference in your day is so much different. And it's like we need spiritual food to keep us going, just like we need human-type physical food to keep us going. What I ate yesterday doesn't affect me today that I'm hungry or am I not hungry. You know, it's done.
Yeah.
And I need to move forward and eat again today.
You gotta eat today, right? You gotta eat today.
You know, and spiritually we need to eat each day. The
we
word
do.
Of the God. The
we
word
do.
Of the Lord.
You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. How do you work up a good appetite for God? And what's it say in your translation, Pastor Jim?
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I think part of it is we ask God for that hunger.
I like that, because I think a lot of people don't have it because they don't ask for it and they don't know it's available.
Right. They don't know that it's available. And just piggybacking on what Nan said, I go back to Israel in the wilderness. They got manna every day except on the Sabbath when they had to collect double portion the day before. But it's every day. And what happens is, at least with the manna, is it's spoiled. If you kept any overnight, it spoiled. That's what you had. You had to go out and collect it every day. Otherwise, you didn't eat. And, you know, it's the same way with the Word of God. And I think if we ask God to give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and His kingdom and the things of God and God Himself, most importantly, we need to have a hunger for Jesus. He will. He'll do that. He'll give us that hunger, and He promises He'll fill us. He'll feed us.
Oh, He does. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, you know, I mean, you're talking about craving, and what came to my mind is that the amount of water that I drink.
It's exorbitant.
It is. It's almost a gallon a day.
I know.
Of water.
And it scares me.
It's scary. My mother's concerned about it. My doctor's not. Either way, I crave the water. I don't just drink it. I literally crave the water. That could be a promise, but right now we don't think it is. But just as I crave the water, so should we spiritually crave.
Yes, yes.
Crave and just desire.
Yes.
I mean, I desire the water. I desire the water. And
yes.
I drink it throughout my entire day. And,
yes.
I always have a cup going with me wherever I am.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to do that with the Word of God. We need to crave the Word of God. We need to crave to learn of God. We need to crave
yes,
to be disciples. We need to crave that with all that's within us. And we will see life changes
it
going
will,
on
it
in
will
us
change.
As we're craving.
Yes.
As we're craving God, we're craving the Word. We will see things change in our lives. I'm guaranteed we will see things change in our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes you just have a little nagging, like, I'd like to have a piece of chocolate. Or I'd like to have something, you know.
Yeah, that's what I crave.
Yeah, chocolate. I do, too. And Pastor Jim, a few weeks ago, I was home in between church and radio writing a contract for a client. Nan called me, and she said, do you need me to bring you something to eat to the radio station? And I wrote back, and I said, no, I had a peanut butter and jelly while I was home. I'm fine. And she goes, well, that's not enough for you. And I said, well, give me a little candy bar or something. That'd be great when I get to the station. It'd be nice to have that. Jim, she walked in with three bags of candy. A bag of Kit Kats.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me about Nan.
A bag of Snickers and a bag of peanut butter cups. Here you go. Here's your chocolate. Are you kidding me, Nan? But you know what? I'm using that facetiously, but not because all I thought I needed was a little tiny piece of chocolate. Evidently, God knew I needed three bags of candy.
Apparently. Well, and I was thinking that the scripture in Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all my needs.
There you go.
According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that goes back to this verse here about hungering and thirsting, for they shall be satisfied. If we have that hunger for God, he's satisfied. If we have that hunger for chocolate, I'm going to pray. I'm going to just drop a, like, you know, a hint to Nan that I need chocolate,
well,
too.
Well, look out.
And what kind is that?
You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed.
Exactly what you brought back.
Do you want to answer that before we do the song?
Well, what I want to say is sometimes we sell ourselves short. You know, like you thinking you needed one little piece of candy, which is exactly what you said to me. I brought more than that. And, you know, we think sometimes that we are only enough to have a little bit of the Word of God, but God has more for
that'll
us.
That'll preach. Will it not? Do it again. Elevation
Walking
Worship. Love this song.
These walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed.
My confidence, you've never
never failed me yet. This is my confidence, mighty God. Pastor Jim, we got to do that soon in a couple weeks. Is that great song?
As always,
for worship?
I'm thinking maybe the week after next we need to do that.
I was
that
thinking
one.
The very same thing. We're always on the same page. I love it. Because that says so much. Great is like confidence because of your faithfulness. You
right,
know?
Right.
You know? Go ahead.
Well, no, that's just a great song. And yeah, it's like, I love it. But, you know, great is your faithfulness. Nothing can take me out of your hand. This is my confidence. Because I'm safe in God's arms, I have that confidence. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, this is the confidence that we have. We can come boldly before the throne of grace because Jesus is there interceding for us. You know, sometimes we think Jesus is up there ready to smack us down when we sin. He's not. He's up there interceding for us before the throne of God. I just recently read Hebrews, and I marked every place where it said forever or eternal and all those once for all, you know. It's happened. It's done. We're saved. And Jesus, you know, we don't have to be afraid to go before God. Jesus already paid the price for every sin we had ever committed, every sin we're going to commit. All we got to do is say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I come before your throne in time of need to receive your grace.
Amen. Amen. And for those of you out there right now that you say, I don't even know that if I died tonight, I would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. I don't even know that. I don't think I've ever nailed that down. Let's do that right now, Pastor Jim. I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. Dear ones out there, we've been talking a lot of nitty-gritty stuff about how great God is and how God wants us to be his disciples, his followers. Ones that are trained and taught by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, you can begin that process right this moment by doing what Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you want to pray this prayer, pray along with Pastor Jim. Dear God, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear God, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I know that Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father.
I know that Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father.
I believe that you are love, Father God.
I believe that you are love, Father God.
And that you loved us so very much that you gave your Son.
And that you loved us so very much that you gave your Son.
To die on a cross for our sins and sicknesses.
To die on a cross for our sins and sicknesses.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I invite you into my heart, Jesus.
I invite you into my heart, Jesus.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior.
Come and live in me.
Come and live in me.
Forgive me for anything and everything.
Forgive me for anything and everything
that I've ever said or done.
That I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I am your child.
I am your child.
You are my heavenly Father.
You are my heavenly Father.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
From this moment on, so be it. Amen.
From this moment on, so be it. Amen.
Woo. Amen. Why'd we do that, Pastor Jim?
Well, so many reasons. We are called to bring people to Jesus. We're called to share the good news, and it is good news. It's not just fire insurance. It's the beginning of a whole new life that we want to share with our listeners. That's why we're here. We want to share. Well, that's why it's called Living the Good Life. We can maybe change it to living the best life, you know?
Yeah. Amen.
Living the abundant life. That's what it's all about.
That's
but it only comes through Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus himself said, look, there's no other way. Nobody comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
And he provided, but he didn't, those weren't just empty words. He provided the way to Amen. The Father to have a relationship. that burns within us. I mean, Paul says, how will they know unless somebody is sent to them?
Yes, yes.
You know, God loves you enough. He doesn't want to see anybody perish.
Right.
But he leaves it to us to spread the word, to get the word out.
And disciples are those that are not just trained and taught. They're equipped to go and do the work of the Messiah, of Jesus, to get to tell people. We're doing disciple activity right now on the air, Nan. You want to explain why that's what we're doing right now?
We're encouraging the people, bringing the word to them, bringing the songs to them, bringing the personal testimonies to them, what we're sharing. We're bringing that to them as a disciple. And one thing I did want to say, it could be a whole radio show within itself, but as disciples, we also need to encourage our fellow disciples. I walked out a little after 4 o'clock to the round table to get something. I looked out, and the precious people that were on before us, there was 4 of them sitting out there around that table talking. Mm-hmm. And that brought to mind, they are encouraging each other. I mean, I didn't even go out there and listen. I know what they're doing. They're encouraging each other. They're talking about the Lord. And that's what we need to do.
Yes.
And if someone's in a church that doesn't do that, I'm sorry, they need to find one that does.
Right.
And if they're in the Tampa area, we would certainly welcome at our church. But they need to be somewhere where there's someone encouraging them as they walk their discipleship path. You know, if they have problems or have difficulties or fall down, they need to have a disciple beside them, pick them up, encourage them. Here's what you need to do. They shake the dust off themselves, ask God for good, and move forward.
Well, the last 2 radio shows before this one, we were talking about that point on my discipleship list, that disciples encourage the weary ones with a word. Mm-hmm. They sustain the weary ones. If you missed either of those shows, go back and listen to that, because it comes to Nan's point right here of how important it is to encourage each other with the word of God. So we've been talking today about disciples are those that are willing to be trained and taught. Pastor Jim, what's kind of a little litmus test for people if they fit in that category that they're willing to be trained and taught? I don't know the answer. I'm just asking you.
I think that they
That's my chemistry teacher coming out in me, right?
Yeah, that litmus test thing.
Right, right.
Sitting under teaching.
Right.
To be a disciple means you sit, I mean, literally sit under somebody's teaching.
Right.
And like Nan, I would say, hey, you want to get in under some good teaching, come to Beacon. But yeah, I mean, again, humbling, being willing to be taught.
Right.
Well, obviously, if that's where you're at, then you need to find a teacher.
Right. Exactly. And don't think you can just do it all on your own, because you grow as you interact with other fellow believers too.
Well, yeah, like Nan was saying, I mean, you know, the folks, the McKays and their extended family were all out there. It's wonderful. And that's why, I mean, you know, we get to church early, we can fellowship before, after church.
Eat donuts.
Thank you, Brian and Edgar, for those. But yeah, I mean, it says don't neglect the fellowship.
Right.
Don't neglect meeting together and
exactly.
fellowshipping. Because what that means, I mean, I heard Keith Green describe it, 2 fellows in a ship. You know, you're there. You're talking to each other. You're sharing.
Right. So important that we do that in the body of Christ, and that we develop those friendships, those relationships that help sustain us when we're going through hard times.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Nan, your thoughts?
Well, what I was thinking, the person with the bad back who couldn't come to church last week was me, that you referred to in the first hour. But, it was...
Seriously?
Seriously, it was so painful. I cried trying to get out of bed. It was terrible. But
I wasn't trying to drive that point home, but it looks like you got it.
Well,
I
have a story to share with that.
Oh, okay.
No, what you don't know is I had about 3 or 4 different people sending me texts. Where are you? What's wrong? And, you know, they cared about me. They care about me so much. They knew that I was not in my appointed place where I am every Sunday.
Right.
And they reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it works in discipleship.
Yes.
You reach out to each other.
Right.
You know, you see someone down, you encourage them. You give them a scripture. You write them a card. You give them a phone call. You give them a text. You send them an instant message through Facebook. However you communicate with them and say, I love you.
Are you okay? Can I help you?
And then you forgive your pastor for digging you on the ear.
Forgave her before she said, of course, I always forgive my pastor. And that's fine. It wasn't a dig. It was just an observation, which was true. But, you know, but the people reached out to me, and that's what I...
That's fantastic. That's what the body of Christ is all about. And as you become a disciple, you think that these 12 disciples that walked with Jesus didn't become close buddies? They did. They knew each other inside and out.
Absolutely.
They knew all about each other. Pastor Jim, some final thoughts. Those were excellent thoughts, Nan.
I'm actually going to go back to Nan and her bad back.
All right.
Her healed back. Let me rephrase that. Nan and her healed back.
Okay.
But I mean, we know that we just know because of Nan's character that she's going to be at church unless it's something really big.
Right.
And, you know, that's the difference between... I really can't come. My back is killing me. Between, I got a little backache. I got a little twinge. I guess I better not go to church. There's a big difference between those two.
Any excuse will do type thing.
Right. I mean, and again, it's very true because I think I was one of those people who said, where are you? Mm-hmm. Because we know each other. That's part of being a disciple and part of being in a fellowship. We know each other. We share. That was a big thing. We share with each other. We kind of know each other's good points, bad points. We know when something's wrong.
Exactly.
And a good disciple will meet those needs.
Absolutely. It's been great. Loved it. Pastor Jim and Nan joining me, Pastor Marcia, today on Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life. So good to have you both on the air. You're amazing. We love you both. It's been a good talk. You can listen to this again on podcast here at TanTalkNetwork.com or go to YouTube. Go to TanTalk Radio, go to YouTube, and there will be a date on this show right there on YouTube. And you can listen to it again and tell some friends about it. God bless every single one of you. God is working in our lives. We welcome you next Sunday morning to our facility, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater, and we pray that God will bless you abundantly as you come to that service. That would be great. We would love to have you next week. 2058 Weaver Park Drive, Clearwater, Florida. Until next Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. This is Pastor Marcia and the Beacon Gang. God bless you.
Three. WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
President Trump said he had a mostly congratulatory discussion with Ukraine's new leader and that Joe Biden and his son were discussed. And the president adds he will consider making public a transcript of the phone call.
We'll make a determination about how to release it, releasing it, saying what we said. It was an absolutely perfect conversation. The problem is when you're speaking to foreign leaders, you don't want foreign leaders to feel that they shouldn't be speaking openly and good. You have to be talking to people.
Attorney General William Barr has been on Capitol Hill recently to meet with lawmakers about new gun control measures.